The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you for about the next hour and a half as we get together every weekday afternoon at this time, answering questions about the Bible, looking at current events, and what we hear in church on Sunday. Is it even in the Bible at all? If you've got a question, maybe you've been studying your Bible, come across something you don't understand, you want to ask us, hey, that's why we like to be here each and every weekday for you. So you just give us a call. We'll do our very best to answer those questions. And again, a lot of times, sometimes people ask a question when you're witnessing, sharing your faith, and you want to give them a good answer. Well, again, that's why we're here. We want to make sure that you're going to be able to be the best you can be for Christ. And so, again, that number to call, 8888-ASK-CSM. Joining me today, special guest, featured daily speaker here, weekdays, Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Honolulu, Hawaii. Hi and welcome.
Aloha, Mike, and aloha to all the listeners out there. Great to be with you. Looking forward to the program as usual every Thursday. I get really charged up to hear these calls coming in. It's just so exciting to see people wanting to be discipled in the Word of God, to grow in their faith, to ask those questions about contending for the faith, which is apologetics, as well as the end times. And, of course, what's happening in our world and our country. It's a lot of fun. I thoroughly enjoy, Mike, being with you and other hosts and guest hosts on the program. So I'm good to go, man. We're looking forward to the program.
Yes, live and direct from Honolulu. That's amazing. I don't know. Technology is amazing things. There you are, Daryl, and appreciate you being on CSN in early morning time here on CSN. Always a blessing to have your words of wisdom and on Saturday. And so it's a blessing to have you with us. Glad you've joined us. And again, if you got a question, that number to call, 8888-ASK-CSN. It's toll free. So it's a good thing. Daryl, what's going on in Hawaii? How's things? Is the economy picking back up? Is it safe to come back over and see you now and roast pigs and do hula dances and watch the palm trees sway in the wind?
Now that Biden got elected, yes, things are changing. there are more tourists coming over, and it's good to see for the local economy especially. We know so many people that were just hammered by this COVID process, and I even have some friends, they lost their restaurants in the process of this thing, which is tragic. But you know what? God is faithful. He's going to take us through, and he's going to help us out. We just need to keep serving him, loving him, and the Bible says all things work together for good, right? So, and that's our calling. But here in Hawaii, tourists are coming back. It's good to see. And there's going to jump through these hoops of testings and so forth. But they are, I will confess, they are getting better at it, and they're having different systems going on. So it's not as bad as it was probably 2 months ago.
So now that COVID is morphing, and it's not the same COVID that was that all the vaccines treat. Now they have the new tier 4 and the African version and all these different things that the vaccines don't work on. So hold on to your car keys, folks. Here we go again.
No kidding. It's tragic.
It's crazy stuff. Yeah, but the Bible tells us perplexity among nations. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus talked about this. And what that means is problems with no way out. And I think we're seeing a lot of that. We see a lot of issues going on in the world. We see issues in our own country. I really believe, I was reading some stuff the other day about, you know, COVID, and now in Dallas, Texas, Jeff Wickwire from yesterday, day before, was saying when he got up in the morning, it was 1 below 0 in Dallas. He said, I've been in this area for literally a half a century. He says, I haven't ever seen this before. People's pipes are breaking. A lot of people have their washer machines outside, all frozen, all broken. He said he had a friend that had a church. And of course, there, because it doesn't normally even get down that cold, they run the water pipes through their attic. And he said they froze, broke. One pastor he knows walked into his church with 2 inches of water on the floor. And it's just, one guy said, he said, you know, after COVID and now this and no heat, he goes, I just want to give up. So many people are like that. I mean, we're just pressed, but you know, I believe this is when we press in, to the high calling, to the mark that God has set for us to be about our Father's business. Because again, friends, unfortunately, and I don't want to be a doomist. I'm a realist and somebody looking forward for Jesus to take the church home. But as I read Revelation, as I look at Matthew chapter 24, Luke 21, it doesn't appear. Now you correct me, please. I want you to that it's not going to get, socially better in the world. It's going to continue to fall apart. And I believe this is part of what's setting up the Antichrist to come along with all the answers. You know, the guy on the white horse, literally, as it says in Revelation chapter 6, and to solve the world's problems. But I don't see it progressively getting better. Now, I know this flies in the face of a lot of replacement theology, Christian teaching that's out there, that it's going to get better and better, and we're going to take over all the newspapers and the governments, and we're going to usher in Jesus Christ. That's what replacement theology is about. God has nothing more to do with the nation of Israel. The church has replaced Israel. Pure heresy. Jesus very clearly, Matthew chapter 24, speaks of the fig tree budding. Luke chapter 21, Jerusalem coming under Jewish control again. All these things, I believe we're in some really exciting times. But I think if we as Christians don't get a biblical worldview, and by the way, there was a couple studies that were done. They say only 6% of Christians right now in the world have a biblical worldview. Mm. Now, friends, that's pretty scary when you stop to think about it. Because again, what is a biblical worldview? Well, we know that the kingdoms of the world are going to be collapsing, groping for a leader. If you do not have a biblical worldview, rather than welcoming back Jesus Christ with replacement theology, you'll be welcoming the Antichrist. Because this guy's going to come along. He's going to have all the answers. He's going to look like God's man of power of the hour. But the Bible says he's a false Christ, a false Messiah. He's going to come in the name of peace and unity, uniting the religions of the world. And the Bible says the people of the world will actually say this: who is able to make war with him? He is so good looking. No, he is so whatever. And the world's going to wander after this guy, and he's going to dupe the world. And it says, if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Now, I believe that's talking about those people who don't go in the rapture. We after Revelation chapter 4, the church is always found in heaven. Chapters 2 and 3 on earth, chapter 4 or 5 in heaven, and then on. But you do find saints, you do find the elect. But that's not the church. The church is the church. And I think it's very important. Jesus actually even mentions that, Revelations 2 and 3. But after that, you don't find the church on the earth. You find saints, you'll find the elect. I believe the saints are those people who accept Christ during the tribulation period. And then I believe that the elect are the Jewish people that have woken up to who Messiah really is. They've rejected the Antichrist. They've rejected the world, and I hate to say it, communist system, because that's what basically it's going to be. You're not going to be able to buy or sell unless you have the mark, the name, or the number on your hand or on your forehead. Yes, it is a physical mark. The Bible in the original language indicates that. It is not worshiping on Sunday. That's pure heresy. Don't buy into that, Chili. That is a lie. The mark of the beast is an actual name or number or a mark on your hand or on your forehead. And there's angels actually in heaven flying around the earth warning people. Now, I don't know how they do this, but they warn people on the earth, do not take the mark. If you take the mark, you sealed your doom forever. You cannot repent from taking the mark. Once you take the mark, it's over. And it's very clear. This is why the angels fly through the midst of heaven. This is why, as you get towards the end of the book of Revelation, there are martyrs. There are martyrs because they refused to take the mark and they were slain for their faith. So any teaching that comes along and says, oh, you can take the mark and you can still be saved, that is pure heresy and anti-biblical. And there's no way around it. The Bible's extremely clear on this. This is why you have the 144,000 Jews that are God's little evangelists going out all over the world. You have also the angels in the midst of heaven. You have the two prophets in the streets of Jerusalem doing multiple signs and wonders to demonstrate that the power of God is in fact with them, warning the people, don't take the mark. And yet, it is amazing to me that you'll still find people that will come along and try to fix what Jesus said. Jesus was very clear on that, and so we want to be very sensitive to that.
Darryl, Mike, if I could add to what you're just saying.
Please.
I know that last week we had a call in about John MacArthur making the statement that he believes that people can take the mark of the beast and still get saved, which is totally contrary to his own study Bible and what it says, as well as it's contrary, more importantly, to the scripture that is found in Revelation 14:9-12. And for the life of me, I cannot figure out why he's believing this. I did call his ministry. I've not been able to talk to a pastor yet to find out what their response might be, because I feel like it's important to go right to the horse's mouth and
yeah, we've tried as well.
Okay, there you go. Have a conversation. So it's an amazing thing. But Revelation 14:9, it says, and then the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image, and he receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence by the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and faith of Jesus. So, you know, it's amazing to me. It's so vitally important that we just preach the Word of God. The Word of God says it clearly, that if you take the mark of the beast and the tribulation, you're going to face the wrath of God. And that's where, as you know, we teach, Mike, you know, you have these conversations and of course over the air, we teach a pre-tribulation rapture. The Bible is clear on that the church will not go through the wrath of God, just as God removed Enoch before the great flood on Noah's day, before his wrath was poured out upon a God-rejecting world, as well as he pulled Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and his wrath was poured out in Sodom and Gomorrah. The great tribulation is going to be horrible, horrible, horrific wrath that is poured out. Volcanoes erupting, tectonic plate movements. Two-thirds of humanity is going to die. Everything in the ocean is going to die. It is going to be absolutely horrific. I mean, people cannot, they think this little ice storm in Texas is bad. Are you kidding me? COVID is bad? Not even close. It is going to be a nightmare that never ends. until the Lord returns. And the temptation to follow the beast, and he's threatening to kill your children and everyone in your family, it's best to get saved today before it's too late. This is what the Bible says. The Bible is 100% accurate. Everything it is foretold has always come to pass, and it's going to come to pass in the book of Revelation, chapter 6 to 19, speaking of the great tribulation period. And the church is found in heaven in Revelation 4 and 5. It's the church of Philadelphia that keeps the word of God, will not deny his name. Jesus says, I'll keep you from the hour of trial. They'll come upon the whole world. We're going to be in heaven because we're the bride of Christ, and God will not abuse the bride of Christ. So, Mike, I guess we should get to the phones.
Amen. Well, no, and it's true.
Had to unload that.
And when you're in chapter 16 of Revelation, all these cataclysmic things.
Yes.
The bold judgments are falling on the earth. And then right in the middle of this, Jesus stops everything. And this is what he says. Behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Right in the middle of all this, Jesus reminds the reader, hey, I'm coming quickly. I'm coming as a thief. Now, when every eye sees him, friends, that's not a thief. When every eye sees him, man, you're going to have the police cars out there. You're going to have everybody out there to get that thief. But Jesus saying, I'm coming as a thief. I'm coming in a sneak moment. No one's going to know about this. This is not speaking of the second coming here in Revelation 16, 15. He's warning the reader, hey, this is why you want to be ready, so you will escape these things that are destined to come upon the earth. And again, I can't stress it enough that the world is on rails, high-speed, rocket-fuel-propelled, on their way to a cataclysmic judgment. This earth is going to be judged by God. While God deals with the nation of Israel, that last final 70th week of Daniel that it talks about, that final seven-year period of time, God will be judging a Christ-rejecting world. And friends, it is not the dawn of the age of Aquarius. Yeah. It is not, imagine, no heaven above us, no hell below us, above us only sky, and the world will be as one. Well, let me tell you something. What the world one is going to be, you're not going to want to be here. Revelation 16 says, unless those days were shortened, there'd be nobody left alive. The idea of peace without the Prince of Peace will never, ever, ever under any conditions work. Because the Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? Wow. Have you ever found that about your own self? Have you ever found yourself as a human doing things that you swore you would never do? That's because the Bible says we don't even know ourselves. In fact, the Bible, there's a verse that even says, know thyself. We can't apart from Christ. We don't know who we are because we're so heavily influenced by thoughts, spirits, friends, media, all these things. We don't know who we are. And that's why Jesus said to a religious leader, a high-ranking religious leader, in John chapter 3, marvel not. In other words, don't be perplexed or overwhelmed by this. You must be born again. Hey, but you know what being born again is? Is simply asking Jesus to forgive your sins. And from that time forward, we call our Father in heaven, Daddy. Oh, man, that ain't religion, friends. Jesus didn't come to start a religion. He came to reconcile us to the Father. That which was lost in the garden so long ago now has been restored to us. Let's go to the phones because, again, God loves every one of us. Let's go to the phones. We have on the line Celia in Wyoming. Hi and welcome.
Hello.
Hi. How may we help?
Can you? Well, I had two things. I'd like some prayer for my brother, and I know that in the past I've heard you on your show talk about you've dealt with people that kind of had demonic activity or things attached to them that you kind of know a little bit about that. And so I was just going to see if I could get a little more, maybe some insight or information about, you know, what else we can do for my brother. My mom and I were both born again, of course, and been walking with the Lord for a while. But you know, this is kind of something we've never dealt with. He's lived away from us for a long time. He's been a drinker most of his life. Mm-hmm. And then about 3 years ago, through a series of bad life choices, he pretty much lost everything. He was living in his car in Las Vegas, and he finally agreed to let us come get him and bring him back here to Wyoming. And since then, he's been living with my mom, and he's been able to hold down a job, and he's not drinking regularly. We know he kind of sneaks every now and again, but he's not allowed to drink in my mom's home. And about a couple of weeks ago, he was waking my mom up in the middle of the night. He has his own room, and he always has his TV on, but he'd be sitting up in the middle of the night, like cursing and yelling, not at the TV even, but like almost arguing with somebody who is not there. And when my mom confronted him one night about it, he just denied that. He said, there's nothing going on. And she said, who are you arguing with? He's like, there's nobody, nothing. He said, no, it's all in your head. And my mom said, no, it's not my head. You're the one that woke me up. So this happened 3 or 4 nights in a few weeks' time. And then we always pray together when we all get together before we eat. And occasionally we, you know, if we're close enough, we hold hands. And when we reach, you know, sometimes when you reach for his hand to pray, occasionally you'll just get a really evil look. I mean, just an evil look. Most of the time he'll just look away and roll his eyes like, okay, not again. But every once in a while you get that look, and it's just evil. And I'm just, is this what it's like when somebody has a demon attached to him?
Let me tell you, when you tell your mom that when the demons manifest themselves, and I think this man definitely has problems with demons. If he's talking to them, he's got problem with them, okay? Somewhere along the line, maybe when he was drunk, he broke that natural defense down, as many people who get involved with drugs do the same thing. The demons moved in. Who knows what he's subjected himself to over the years. But for some reason, it sounds like he's picked up a critter or two. When the demons manifest, in other words, he's talking to them, this is what I believe your mom should do. If she hears it again, she goes in there and he's talking. And obviously, I would just have her say, in the name of Jesus, who are you? And that will then prompt the devil to tell the truth, the demons to tell the truth. And then with authority that comes from God's word, and I certainly would recommend prayer and fasting, as the Bible says to do in the Gospels, I would say in the name of Jesus, come out of him right now. And it may take several times. I actually prayed for a fellow one time, and he actually tore his shirt off when I was praying for him. It scared me to death, but he tore his shirt off. And he was just, his head was just going back and forth, and he was just sweating, and he was hunched over. And I said, in the name of Jesus, come out of him. And he kept doing it. And so finally, then he kind of relaxed and he said, Oh, it's gone. It's gone. And I just, something didn't bear witness. And I said, say Jesus is Lord. And he goes, honest to God, everybody listen, this really happened. This is not Hollywood. This is not TV. This is what happened. He goes, Jesus is love. And he just went crazy again. And I go, well, there's some more in there. And so just kept praying until finally, his whole countenance changed. He just really relaxed. And I said, is Jesus Lord? And he goes, yeah. And I said, say it. And he said it this time. He could, because I asked him before. I said, "Is Jesus his Lord?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Say Jesus is Lord." And that's when he went, "Jesus is Lord," and just went wacky. He finally could say it and repeat it, and then I just introduced him to Jesus. It didn't matter what his past experience was, his past church experience was. I just simply got with him, prayed with him. I explained the importance of having Christ come into his life, because the Jesus said, who's the leading authority on this stuff, that if they go out and they find, they'll go out and find seven more spirits worse than themselves, and they'll try to move back into the individual unless there is something from God in there. The Holy Spirit, Jesus' presence. You have invited Christ in your life. But he says if they come back and they see the house clean and swept, that's just an invitation, and the person is way off worse than he was before. So a person needs to be led to Christ afterwards, and don't feel embarrassed or shy to explain to him why. You have been controlled by the devil. You've been controlled by demons. Usually when you see demonic work, you see a real destructiveness, not only in their bodies, drinking, drugging, hooked up with alcohol or some other thing, but you'll also see destruction in their whole being, whether it be their families, financially, all these things. Because you have to remember, the devil hates human beings. The demons hate human beings. And I believe that the reason why is because when they heard there was going to be a group of created beings lower than the angels, that didn't bother Lucifer. But when they were going to be elevated above the angels, the Bible talks about Lucifer being filled with pride. It is interesting, if you look in the book of Isaiah chapter 14, and this is when I believe the fall of Satan was, because he was on this earth. He deceived Eve, if you remember. And he said, I will ascend above the clouds. Well, friends, there are no clouds in heaven that we know of. I'll go above the stars. So for some reason, heaven and this planet have a lot. We find no life anywhere else in the universe, whatsoever. Not even a microscopic bug. It seems to be this earth and heaven. And somehow, as in jokes, in the dream, the ladder and the angels coming up and going down on it. This is kind of like a spiritual place for them to go. But Lucifer said, I will ascend above the clouds. Well, we know he wouldn't have said that in heaven, but he would have said it here on the earth after the earth was created, because the Bible tells us in Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth, everything was good. In fact, it was very good, it says. And so I think this is why we see what we see, but take authority over this in Jesus' name. When it manifests itself, this is when to address it, and then not be scared of it. Be bold, be filled with the Spirit. Celia, we're going to talk more about this on the other side of the break, because I believe for many of us that are listening today, we need to know how to address this, because America's been kind of we didn't have a lot of demons running around, but as America has turned its back on God, I believe here they come. We'll have more right after this. We'll be right back.
We want CSN to be a radio station where you feel welcome. No matter where you've been, no matter what's happened in your life, no matter where you go to church, and even if you don't, this is your station. Please make yourself at home, because you're welcome here. And we hope that CSN will be a blessing to you and your family, and that you'll tell a friend.
8 Towers, a place of high ground, a point of security where a guard sees the enemy advancing and alerts the troops. At CSN, our towers send out the message of the gospel, educating and preparing you for the advances of the enemy. You can be a tower keeper and help keep CSN on the air. A monthly donation of any amount can make this possible. Give us a call at 800-357-4226 or go online to csnradio.com for more instructions. CSN, the Christian Satellite Network, is broadcast on hundreds of stations nationwide, including over 60 in California alone. You can listen in great cities like Bakersfield, Sacramento, San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, Yucca Valley, and many more stations throughout California and the nation. A full station list is available through csnradio.com. You're listening to CSN International, where God's Word is heard.
CSN International, bringing you exciting new music from around the world. So whether it's youth praise and worship, or the latest congregational songs. You'll find it on CSN International.
Welcome you back to part two of Every Man an Answer here on this Thursday with Daryl Skinner. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. When we went to the break, we were speaking with Celia about a brother that, lost everything living in his car in Las Vegas. And, usually some of the devil's handiwork. And then moves in with his mother. And in the middle of the night, he starts carrying on conversations with something that they don't see. And again, Celia, it genuinely does sound like some type of possession. Again, it's a tragedy when people find themselves. But the Bible's like this. But greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. Daryl, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, Cecilia, we find ourselves in those situations. I, like Mike, have dealt with the. Couple of people, actually three, I believe, were demon possessed. I got attacked by two of them physically.
Wow.
The first one was a 19-year-old young guy who was in the Navy, got into drugs, went into the occult, and then I was called to the house, and he was possessed. And one thing that the demons like to do is they like to, many times they'll try to intimidate you with fear that you'll run away and not do anything. And the other thing is they'd like to, in a sense, like hibernate. They like to hide and act like they're not there any longer as you address them. But it's important for us as believers in Christ to address them with the word of God, with the, of course, the authority of the name and power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's also important to realize that there's some time I had this one experience, Mike, and with the audience here, my friend, we had a few of us pastors were together with this one young guy, and we were, you know, quoting scriptures, saying things to him, and this demon just wasn't responding in this individual. He was in a fetal position on the floor. It was about midnight, and I said to the team, I said, guys, I don't know what else to say to this one. We've been there for an hour and a half. And finally, I said, if you have a prayer language, pray in your prayer language right now. And I remember hearing Kay Smith say in a Bible study years ago that if you don't know what to do and you have a prayer language, just pray in your prayer language and let the Lord do His work.
Because you know what else to say.
Yeah. You know, we went through all the English we knew. And we did. And the moment we started, all of a sudden that young man just spun around off that on his knees and was just cursing the name of Jesus. And then we began to continue to cast out the demons in the name of Jesus Christ. And it is a spiritual battle. Some demons are more powerful than others. Some are simple ones. Others are powerful ones. And like you said, Mike, some are filled with several demons. I had a girl in the church here. She was filled with several demons, and she allowed two of them to be cast out, and the third one she didn't want to be cast out. She said it was her best friend, and I had told her, you're going to end up in the psych ward if you don't let this demon go. And then all of a sudden she just took off and ran out of the church, and I got a call a week later from her, and she was in the psych ward. It's tragic. She ultimately died of cancer and never allowed that demon to come out of her. So it's important that we realize the spiritual warfare that we're in these days. We put on the full armor of God. Our authority is found in Jesus Christ. As you said, Mike, and the scripture says, greater is he that is in us than he is of the world. The gates of Hades will not prevail against the church. And you have to stand strong in confidence and power. As Paul said, be strong in the power and the might of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not us. It's his might and power that works through us. So be confident in who Jesus is. Mike?
Amen. I hope that gives you a little direction, Celia, because again, I believe that, that again, this is why the Bible says to be in season and out of season.
Yes.
And it is real. It's when it goes deep. How do you know the difference between somebody just having a bad day, throwing a fit, or really acting El Bizarro? It's when it goes deep, when it actually takes over the person's personality. When you see, Jesus said, by the fruit you know them. And I believe that's not only concerning Christians, but I also believe that it shows in, up in the tracks of people, the way they live. And when you see a trail of destruction, personally, and what they've done to others, I look for something, that is motivating them beyond just themselves. And, this is real. This is not, and, you know, in our country, we've had a relatively wonderful, time of not having this, but, it's always been around, but I see it increasing now due to several things. A lot of the stuff people are watching on TV, these are made in Hollywood by people. They're sold out to the occult. You look at the Harry Potter series. I've actually heard crazy people say, oh, the Harry Potter series is actually a Christian thing. No, no, no. It's just reformatted witchcraft is all it is. That's all it is. If somebody makes a statement like that, either they're in the occult or they're just simply ignorant of the occult. Because when you start conjuring spirits and you start putting spells on people and everything is magic wands and this and potions and lotions and they have all these books of incantations, that, friends, is full-blown witchcraft sorcery. And nobody should ever in any way think that that in any way has anything to do with Christ. In any way. It's on the other side of the fence. Very, very far. And so we have to be aware of that. But the familiarization and bringing these things about more and more mainline into America, as Jeff Wickwire said yesterday, he said he's astonished at the increase in the occult and occult activity in our country. Well, I believe this is a direct result of that. And so when you see a lot of these bloodthirsty, ghoulish movies that are produced,
video games for that matter,
all of it, it all falls into this. Of incantations and conjuring spirits. This isn't conspiracy, friends. This is their design. They get together in their covens and they pray that their wickedness will be communicated through the screen and through the TVs and through the monitors across America that will draw people in. And when you have in the mid-60s, they took prayer and God out of the schools. What's replaced it now? Kids gunning kids down on a regular basis in schools? Delinquency? Kids burning school? All this stuff going on? Yeah, that's a direct result. And so what is replacing it then? What fills the void? Well, the occult comes along and says, you can have whatever you want. Just sell your soul. Well, you see these kooky people on TV in the name of Jesus practicing incantations. Use your magic faith words. Get whatever you want. Eeny beanie, chili beanie, you know, kind of stuff. And it's the same stuff. It's just repackaged witchcraft. True right. Christianity, friends, is you come to the cross. We repent of the foolish way we have defined our lives in doing it our way. And then we say, as Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. That's not what you're hearing today. You're hearing, just slip Jesus in your pocket, climb to the top. Hey, baby, it's all about you. Use your magic faith words and get what you want. Blab it and grab it. Well, friends, that's a cult. That's what it is. And we got to call it what it is. And it's really sad that they'll take the occult, throw a little Jesus in there and everything. Oh, this is Christianity. No. Well, you know, that Bible verse that says you can ask whatever you want in my name and you'll have it. Whammo. This is a license to take whatever I want. No, That verse is written in the context of understanding your kingdom come, your will be done. God, whatever I need to do and have to make your kingdom come in what you've called me to do, you will give to me. And that's the way God's promised it. But see, that isn't what we're hearing today. It's all about you. And the Bible says in the last days, they will heap up teachers to themselves, having itching ears. What does an itching ear want to hear? Something that'll scratch it. Well, what is that about? Well, it's all about you. No, it ain't. It's all about Jesus and his kingdom. But this is the good part. Those that have dedicated their lives to doing what God wants. And Celia, whether it's getting the demon out of your brother, whether it's whatever it is, your reward is great in heaven. And that's why Jesus said, don't worry about this world. He said, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. That's what's going to be important. Not what goes on down here. It's all temporary. And depending on what aspect of life you're looking at, some of it's more temporary than others. But what God talks about, what Jesus talked about, was that it's never going to end. Your reward will never fade away. Be about your daddy's business. Yes, God will give you whatever you need to do his will. But there's a big difference, personally, I found in my life, between God's will and my will. My will, I want to do a lot of stuff. And I just hope God will bless it. That's not Christianity. Real Christianity is, God, I'm about your business. What do you want me to do for you? And then God supplies those things and those people and those resources in your life to carry out what God wants you to do. And as an example, right now, all of you listening by radio, you are listening to that very promise come true.
Yes.
Period. You don't ever hear me come on the radio and beg for money. No, it's because we all share in the same vision. We got to get God's message out while we can. And I'll tell you, friends, that's what it's about. Celia, that's the first thing. Take authority in Jesus' name. Tell your mother in Jesus' name over this spirit. When it manifests itself, that's when you want to address it, because that's where it's showing what it really is. Otherwise, just as you said, Daryl, they like to hide. So,
yeah.
Celia, I hope that helps. First question.
All right. Thank you very much. And I did have one other quick question, if you have time.
Okay.
In Jude 9, it talks about Michael the archangel in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses. Do you know anything more about that, why they were arguing over the body of Moses?
The only thing I can tell you is that many Bible scholars believe, and I lean this way myself, is that God buried Moses. The body of Moses, had it been available to the Jewish people, would have been something that they would have worshipped. Case in point, Hezekiah, going back to the time of Moses, the Bible says the people, when Moses was guiding them, began to murmur and complain against God. And the Bible says God sent upon the people, literally in the Hebrew, and this is weird because it doesn't come across this way in the Old King James or even the New King James, but God sent upon the people flying fiery serpents. Now, I don't know what those things are, but they bit the people. They began to die. They went to Moses. Moses, we think God's really bummed with us. Will you intercede for us? And God instructed him to take a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, wrap it around the pole, and lift it up. And he said, everybody that comes that had been bitten, looks at the snake, will live. And those that don't will die. Well, there's a lot of people have got bit. I'm not going to look at that stupid thing. They died. But interesting, in the Bible, brass is the metal of judgment. It's also interesting, the American Medical Association actually has the serpent on a pole of that a medicinal thing. It's still there today. But here's the problem. Hezekiah, way, hundreds and hundreds of years later, the people of Israel were still worshiping the serpent on the pole. Hezekiah grabbed the serpent, he smashed it, and he said, Nehushtan, a thing of brass. That's all it is. But they began to worship it. And because people are idolaters by nature, whether we're worshiping our car, job, career, schooling, or diplomas, whatever it is, We are idolaters by nature. They believe that if the body of Moses would have been available, they would have begun to worship that. And certainly even when Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments, he came down and all the people of Israel were dancing around a golden calf. People are idolatrous by nature. And so the body of Moses, and even to the time of Jesus, they were saying to Jesus, well, Moses taught us. Well, see, the problem is they were bragging about Moses. And if they would have had the body of Moses, you only knows what that would have become. Any last thoughts?
Well, you know, God wants to lead us to Jesus only. And Moses was a prophet of God. And when Jesus would come, he was going to be the one to fulfill what Moses had spoken, because God had spoken to Moses. And man has this, like Mike said, this idolatrous way about him, as well as a form of veneration. Now, let's bring this to our modern era. Do we have a veneration of anybody in Christianity today outside of Jesus Christ? Yes, we do. It's in the Roman Catholic Church. Her name is Mary.
Oh, yeah.
They say there's apparitions of Mary where millions of people go to hear Mary speak. They, the Pope, when he first gets inaugurated, he goes to the Marian Church and prays to Mary. We also find that they have statues of Mary. They have Marian Day, and they bring statues from Fatima. So you have this satanic work of leading people away from the person of Jesus Christ to worship someone who's not the Savior. And that's what they did. God did not want that to happen with Moses, and it should not be happening with Mary today. Every person, every Christian who calls themselves a Christian, you do not pray to Mary. There's one mediator between God and man. That is the man Christ Jesus, who died and gave his life a ransom for many. It is only Jesus who is our mediator. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. No one in the New Testament prays to Mary. None of the apostles. We have no instructions in the epistles. It's never found. So if you're a Roman Catholic, I'm not trying to abuse your belief, but I'm just trying to correct it and make you biblical. Do not pray to Mary. Do not have statues of Mary. Do not seek Mary. She is the mother of Jesus. We honor her for that. And that's it. And that's so vitally important. But the Roman Catholic Church is leading people away from Jesus Christ to put their faith in Mary and not in the Lord Jesus himself, period. Mike?
So, yeah. So worshiping bodies, we see that even now. So hope that helps.
Yes.
And God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. With that, we will go to Kendall, Spokane, Washington. Hi, welcome.
Hey, guys. I was wondering what the difference between the Bema Seat and the Great White Throne Judgment is. And as believers, are we going to be judged at the Great White Throne Judgment? And if I can get some verses backing you guys' conclusion, that'd be nice.
Okay, yeah. We're all going to stand in a judgment. Now, judgments are not always bad. If you get a call, a lawyer that says, we need you to come down here, your Uncle Fred has died, and there's been a judgment made in your favor, and you get part of the inheritance, that's a very good thing. The Bema Seat judgment is where the Christians will stand, I believe, right before the marriage supper of the Lamb, and this will be in heaven. All the things that we've done with the right motives will be rewarded. All the wood, hay, stubble, all the things that were done to be seen of men, whatever, that'll be burned up. That's where our judgment comes in. Now, understanding that Jesus Christ took our judgment on the cross, by his stripes, we are healed. And believe me, friends, we need to be healed not only of in our bodies and our minds, but we need our sins healed as well. We need them taken away and washed away. The White Throne Judgment, though, is at the end of the millennial reign of Christ, and that's when everybody's works have come to full fruition. Now, that means everybody that died outside of faith from the beginning of time, going clear back to Adam and Eve, till the very last person that dies in the tribulation, and excuse me, in the millennial reign of Christ, the books will be open. And the Bible says that, again, this is why the Great White Throne Judgment is at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. Because when you die, it doesn't stop the wickedness that a person has started. Think of the cults. Maybe there was only 25, 30 people when the cult started. Now there's millions, and it's a multi-billion dollar thing, all based on a lie. I believe that person's going to be judged harshly and severely throughout all of eternity. Bible talks about some beaten with many stripes, some with few. You think about the lies that people have told. And yeah, they may be dead for many years, but their lie lives on. Think about those who came up with evolution. Think about the teachers today that are teaching it to kids. I believe they're going to stand in the great white throne judgment for willfully teaching something that in their conscience they know is wrong. There are no transitory or transitional life forms in existence right now. A monkey trading up. There's no fossil records by the billions of fossil records of animals mutating from one species to another. It doesn't happen. This was all drawn by a goofball named Darwin who didn't really understand medical science. It's called DNA, and everything reproduces after its own kind. Just what the book of Genesis says. Well, right. He knew that. I'm sure they all knew that. But you know, you keep telling a lie long enough, baby, it becomes true. So it's taught as fact in our schools and colleges today. It's the big lie, and it's absolutely a lie. It's based on nothing. There are not living examples of what they're talking about. There's no fossil records of what they're talking about. Nothing. Oh, yeah, they'll find big horses and small horses, but a horse is a horse, of course. Remember that. Now, the thing is, here's the problem with that. When a species transmutes, in other words, a horse and a donkey get together, they have a mule. But the mule is sterile because the DNA locks it out. All of Darwin's theory is bogus. There's nothing there that's true. We have a DVD called DNA versus the Book of Mormon. Excuse me. Evolution versus God. And I believe, again, this is why it's so important to know how to defend your faith. Here's what I'm saying. These people teach this stuff. They're dead. They're gone. But their lie continues to mislead millions of people. Yes, friends, there is a judgment. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Maybe some of these ideas of evolution, maybe some of the ideas in the cult practices, different things like this, will be resurrected during the millennial reign of Christ when Satan is loosed for a short period of time. Yeah, it's still going to mislead people then. It's interesting you find Magog, Gog, mentioned back in the book of Ezekiel. And you also find it mentioned in Revelation as well. It's because these areas, they seem to regurgitate this old stuff. Now, remember, the tribulation period, Jesus sets up his millennial reign. But there's going to be stuff, people that will live through that, that might say, hey, I remember back before Jesus set up his reign, you know, there was this idea that, you know, and they'll bring up the cultic ideas. They'll bring up evolution, they'll bring up all this stuff because people forget. And I think this is where a lot of that's going to be headed. Your thoughts?
Well, I'm 100% with you, Mike. The judgment seat of Christ is a place of rewards for the believer in Christ. Everything we did with the wrong motivation of heart is going to be burned up. Everything we did with the right motivation of heart to glorify God, we're going to receive a reward. Jesus talks about the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. He says, I gave this one servant five. He invested. He got five back. The other he gave two. He got two back and so forth. So it's what God has given us. We want to glorify him. We want to testify of Jesus. We want to be soul winners. We want to be disciples. We want to be the book of Acts continuing today by the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is the work of God in us and through us. And all that we do with the right motivation, you and I as believers will be rewarded in heaven. It is always an amazing thing. Here we have a God that creates us, Jesus who dies for us. He fills us with the Holy Spirit. He empowers us. He gives us the word to instruct our lives. And we're just trying to follow what he says. And then at the very end, he rewards us. That's a great and wonderful God that we serve. And it's going to be a marvelous, marvelous celebration in heaven. And there'll be no, it won't be a downer when you're at the judgment seat of Christ. Your sins have been judged at the cross, and now you're going to be rewarded for the things you did that were right with God. And as Mike said, and let me give you some scriptures. You did ask for scripture references. We have 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 15, for the Bema seat of Christ, as well as Romans chapter 14, verse 10. And then also we find that the Great White Throne Judgment is found in Revelation chapter 20, beginning with verse 11 to verse 15. And so those are your references there. So hopefully this gives you a great insight on the Bema Seat as compared to the Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment is for non-believers, and the books will be open. They'll be judged for all the sins they've ever committed in their life. And then they're going to be given a body and cast to hell, and they're going to be tormented forever and ever and ever for the rejection of God, the rejection of Jesus Christ, the rejection of the Holy Spirit. And that's what it's going to be like. Wailing, weeping, gnashing of teeth, a place of outer darkness, a lake of fire. And that's what
not
the Bible
a place,
says, Mike.
Not a place anybody would want to go. Hope that helps.
No, you don't want to go there. Come to Jesus. Amen.
If I could ask one more question real quick.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 Peter 4, verse 5, talks about, it says, they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. So that's talking about when Jesus went and preached to the spirits in Sheol.
Yeah, Daryl.
And so was Jesus saying, you see, this is what I did to save. Okay, so is he talking to demons, or is he talking to the dead people that died in the flood? Is he saying, here's what I did? Is he like saying, is it possible for him to like give them a second chance, I guess, is what I'm saying. Like,
well, there's no second chances, Kendall, and I think that's really important when we realize that. Second of all, he wasn't preaching to the devil or the demons, because there is they're eternally lost, they're eternally damned. There's nothing that can be done for them. But I do believe that Jesus ministered to those when he died. That's where the Bible says he went. For those 3 days, he preached to those in captivity. We're coming up on a break, everyone. We'll have more right after this. We'll be right back.
Hi, friends. Pastor Chapin from Calvary Chapel University. Happy New Year to you. Does a fresh start, a new beginning, behold, I'll do a new thing, seem like something the Lord's doing in your life this year? Go to CalvaryChapelUniversity.com and apply today. At Calvary Chapel University, our new thing is we're fully accredited. You can go to CalvaryChapelUniversity.com and apply today to earn your fully accredited college degree. Calvary Chapel University is also 100% online. What that means for you is you can take your CCU classes anytime, anywhere, any place on your terms. Go to CalvaryChapelUniversity.com and apply today to earn your fully accredited 100% online convenient college degree. You're looking for sound doctrine? David Guzik's a board member and Pastor Skip Heitzig is a faculty member. Go to CalvaryChapelUniversity.com and apply today. Oh, one other thing. If you apply now, you get a 30% tuition scholarship. Go to CalvaryChapelUniversity.com.
If you enjoy listening to CSN on your radio, then log online to CSNradio.com. See a side of CSN you might have been missing. You can listen anywhere in the world with an internet connection. Find program schedules and contact information for your favorite teachers. You can listen to archived episodes of To Every Man an Answer. Leave a praise report and print off the network's complete station list. This and much more is available at CSNradio.com.
If you'd like to partner with CSN by helping us cover our cost of operation to broadcast God's Word nationally and across the world, please consider making a donation. All donations are tax deductible, and now CSN is offering a simple automatic monthly subscription. Pick an amount as low as $10 and subscribe. Every month your donation will automatically happen, and subscriptions can be canceled at any time. Log online to CSNradio.com, click the donate button on the homepage, pick an amount, and then click subscribe. Together, we can continue to spread the gospel. You're dialed in to the Christian Satellite Network. We're broadcasting on hundreds of stations nationwide, including multiple stations in North and South Carolina. You can listen while in Charleston, Myrtle Beach, Eden, the Winston-Salem area, and many more great cities throughout North and South Carolina. To find your closest station, log online to CSNradio.com, and you can listen live 24/7 worldwide. CSN International, where God's Word is heard.
This is KAWZ Twin Falls, the Christian Satellite Network.
Welcome me back to part three after Every Man an Answer here on this Thursday afternoon with Daryl Skinner. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. And when we went to the break, speaking with Kendall and asking some questions, who was Jesus? Who was this message addressed to? The Bible talks about your thoughts.
You know, we're looking at 1 Peter 3:19. It says the following, so folks can be up to speed with us. For Christ also suffered once for sins, for the just, for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through the water. You know, it's interesting that when the Lord was the 3 days in the heart of the earth, he preached to these spirits that were there in Hades. He revealed that he is the Messiah they rejected, as well as he, to the others in Abraham's bosom, he's the Messiah that they've been so waiting for. So we see this taking place. It also speaks to this in Ephesians chapter 4. He took captivity captive unto himself. Now, the other statement that you made, Kendall, was out of 1 Peter, if I was following correctly, was out of 1 Peter 4, 6. It says that, for this reason, the gospel is preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to the Spirit. And this is speaking of the world persecuting believers, and the Lord will take care of business with the non-believers who are persecuting us, and they will face the judgment of God. As we just spoke with a previous caller regarding the great white throne judgment, those that persecute the church, reject Jesus Christ to the point of death, they're going to be judged by the Lord and cast into the lake of fire, which we commonly call hell. So hopefully that'll help you out. Mike, I'll hand it back to you.
Hope that helps.
Okay, so 1 Peter 4, verse 6 has nothing to do with 1 Peter 3:19.
No, because if you read 4:1-6, it's talking about non-believers coming against us and how we're to be sanctified and live for the Lord, that the non-believers will speak evil of us and so forth, but the Lord will judge them. So it's speaking of that. So we have two separate issues going on here.
Okay.
Hope that helps.
Thank you, guys.
Stay on the line, Kendall. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs I think will bless you and use them for evangelism. Let's go to Carla, Cathedral City, California, out by Palm Springs. Hi, welcome.
Hi, yes. My question is, I took my daughter to a service on Calvary Chapel, and she stopped going because she didn't like the pastor talking with politics and Christianity. She said doesn't have anything to do with Christ. So how can I answer to her of the reason why it's talked in church about politics?
Well, really, because it's talked about all the way through the entire Bible. You look at the Old Testament. How did Jeremiah get in stocks and bonds? And I'm not talking about the stock market. I'm talking about that he was literally locked up. Daniel in the lion's den. All these things. It's because they stood against what the wicked kings were doing. When you have wicked presidents that come in and they begin to embrace the things the Bible clearly say that God will destroy a nation over, we can't say, oh, we're Christians, we don't talk about that. In fact, if we don't talk about that, we are turning a blind eye to what really is destroying our whole civilization. Now, was Israel's civilization destroyed? Well, I believe they tried to. This is why they were dispersed and scattered among the nations. When the Assyrian Empire took over the northern 10 tribes of Israel, they scattered them all over the world. Why? Because they refused to follow in the ways of God. They embraced the pagan deities. They embraced the pagan rituals. And so God judged them. Really, when you really look at it, there was very few people in the Old Testament that didn't stand up to the kings and the queens of those days. Elijah standing up against Ahab and Jezebel and challenging them in their wickedness and what they were doing to people. You see, this is all that is needed for evil to succeed is for the righteous to do nothing. Well, the Christian church has been asleep and dead in the head for so long that now when you try to do anything, oh, well, you're mixing church. Our whole country was based upon the Bible. This is why in the Constitution that we were endowed by a creator. Oh, you're mixing God with politics. Exactly. Exactly. And that's what we're supposed to do. We were founded on Judeo-Christian principles. But when you have these loons come along and they say, oh no, we're going to do it our way, and they violate Romans chapter 1, and the churches sit back and just applaud, oh yes, if that's the way you want to be, if you want to be wicked in God's eyes, oh yes, that's good, that's the way a country should run. This is why the judgment of God is falling on us. But no, we don't get it. Look how wicked California is. Do you know they're actually proposing now an exit tax in California? In other words, if you want to leave the state, you have to pay to get out. Kind of sounds like old communist Russia, doesn't it? You can't get out of here. We're going to build a wall, not to keep outsiders from coming in, but to keep our citizens from leaving because our government is so rotten. The communist government is anti-God. Now, let me explain why. Because they believe that you are a cosmic accident. That's what communism believes. Lightning hit a swamp, here we are, okay? And because there's no God, and this is one of the first fundamental rules of communism and progressivism and socialism, it's all the same bucket of worms, but it's all the same thing. There is no God, and the government is God. The government will give you everything that you need. You are not worthy or capable of thinking on your own, so therefore the government will think for you, because really, you're really pretty stupid. I heard Democratic Senator 2 days ago concerning Trump's impeachment. We want to impeach him so he can never run for president again, so he will never be president again. And I got to thinking about that. My dad used to say, you just listen to somebody, they'll tell you what's wrong with them. Mm-hmm. We want to make so Trump can never be president again. We don't care what the American people want. We don't want him to be president again. That's what they're saying. We don't care what the American people think. If he gets in, legitimate denied that, Lee. We don't want him there because we want to go against the will of the people. That's what this senator said. I'm going, is anybody listening? Where are you, American news media, to cite this guy on his obvious hatred of the American people? We want to impeach Trump so he can never be president again. Even if the American people want him to be president, we're going to keep that from happening. Wow. Now that's democracy. Not. They said it, I didn't. And so we then, as Christians who are and represent Jesus Christ, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. We in truth say, no, we were made by a creator. We're not evolved sledge. We did and had such a wonderful nation where every person could do whatever they want to do. If you want to spend the extra years and go to school and be a physician or a doctor and make lots of money, great, you can do that. If you don't want to do anything, you want to just sit around, drink six packs of beer all day and don't do anything, you're not going to amount to anything. But no, communism says, no, everybody is going to be the same. We're going to level the playing field. So you doctors that went to school for 20 years, you're going to be making the same amount of money as somebody that just graduates from high school. You see, this is exactly what the kings in Europe were doing. This is what people from England came over here from, because the kings had everything and everybody else was the same, in complete, total poverty. Now, people are poor because they don't want to work. Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. So if we don't tell people what the Word of God says, how people are to be governed, it's all in God's Word. It's all right here. The nation of Israel was governed by God. If you don't follow the way God says governments are supposed to go, and that's what our country originally was founded upon, now all of a sudden you have a whole different set of ideas by Karl Marx and the other absolute loons that were out there, saying we're going to make everything the same. The government's going to take over every aspect of your life. There are your papers. You cannot travel without your papers. This is what it's going to be, friends. It's getting there right now. And so we don't realize that these guys have been working their way into our country for 40, 60, 80 years to overthrow America. Nikita Khrushchev in 1957 said, we will bury you, speaking of America, and we'll do it and never fire a shot. And that's exactly what they're doing. They completely corrupted our schools. They've corrupted our churches. They've corrupted our government. They've corrupted our entire voting system now. Joseph Stalin, by the way, if you remember, said it doesn't matter who votes. It's who counts the votes. Joseph Stalin, end quote. Well, isn't it funny that the Dominion voting machines were outlawed in America but came back in under the name Dominion? They had another name before that because they were faulty. They were influenceable by foreign countries, which we've already proved. We proved here at CSN, we're not a big company. We proved that the last election was fraud. We have people call up, say, I got 8 ballots in my mailbox, and there's only 3 people living in the home. Another guy calls in and say, I got 2 ballots, one for me, one at my dad's house, and one at my house. Another caller calls in and says, I went to vote in California. They didn't even ask for my ID. So he said, I could have been voting all day long. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, how many people you got to kill to be a murderer? Just one? How many times you got to prove voter fraud to know you had a fraudulent election? It was fraud. Absolutely, no doubt about it. Now, how big a fraud it was, we don't know. And for some reason, those in power don't want the American people to know how big a fraud it was. Michael Lindell, who the pillow guy, he's put out a fantastic movie on the fraud. And it's incredible when you watch it. And why no courts will even review this is beyond. It shows how bad the deep state is. They have infiltrated every aspect of our lives. So when we as the church stand up and say, hey, we can't allow this to go on. We can't accept things the Bible say are wrong. Well, we really see part of the whole communist thing is to demoralize America. Well, we don't even know what bathroom to go in anymore. Well, today I feel like a guy, so I'm going to go into the men's bathroom. But tomorrow I might feel like a woman, so I'm going to go into the woman's bathroom. That's demoralization. That's exactly what they do. Because what they do is they goof up everything so bad, nobody knows what's right and wrong anymore. And then the next thing they have to do, and you can see this for yourself, study Antifa. Yeah, that crazy radical goofball group. They're just communists. That's all they are. Funded by Soros and who knows who else. Well, the thing is that what's their whole thing? They desecrate American monuments. That's what the Communist Party always does, everyone. They scrap your history to build a new America. So this is why St. Petersburg in Russia for hundreds of years was called St. Petersburg. But after the Bolshevik, the communists took over Russia, they renamed it to Stalingrad. Well, isn't that amazing? They want to completely erase the names of streets, the presidents on your currency and on your coins. Put people you've never seen or even known of before. That's what they want to do. You watch. That's what they're going to do next. You're going to see a bunch of people you don't even recognize on your money because it's the new America. Burn the old America down, and out of the ashes will come the new communist America. This is the way they always work. They're a bunch of lying, cheating fakes is all they are, and they masquerade under the name of Democrat. Yeah, sometimes even Republican. They come in and do this wicked stuff. They're no more American than a traitor is. But they get away with it. And the American news media, the worst group of all, they're the ones that continue to promote it. And we watch them in their, and they don't report the news. It's Pravda, it's propaganda machine is all that is. They don't tell you the truth. Because if they told you the truth, America would realize what's going on. But no, just keep America stoned. Let's make vodka legal. Oh, no, no, that was done in Russia. What can we do in America? Oh, we'll make pot legal. That's right. We'll just keep the populace stoned while we do our wicked stuff and overthrow your government. Friends, it's real. It's here. And I believe, Carla, every pastor should have the fortitude to stand up and say, look, this is wrong. Well, we don't want to hear that. We just want to hear about Jesus. So do I. But you know, we're saved for a reason. And we're not saved to set. We're not saved to occupy till he comes. Yes, we're going to do that. But what does that mean, occupy till he comes? That means you stand up for right. You abhor what's wrong. When you see the agenda of the Democratic Party, I'll just be honest with you. Look what it is. They took God out of their platform. This is not the party of JFK and Harry Truman, friends. This is the new Communist Party with a new face. That's not saying every Democrat's a communist, but it's saying their party represents that. Absolutely, without a doubt. So when you look at really what we're at, there's no voice that says anything. And freedom of speech? Oh, only free if they like what you're saying. If they don't, look what they're doing to people on Facebook and Reddit and all these other ones. They just shut them down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. That's the First Amendment right there being violated. They have no regard for your Bill of Rights, friends, because it's the new communist state. And we will tell you what to do. And even we want to impeach Trump so he can never be president again. We don't care what the American people want. We want what we want. Listen to him talk sometime. Bunch of hypocrites. Carla, I'm sorry, but that's why we have to say something, because we're watching the death of our nation, because the church is so paralyzed, so asleep, so infiltrated that they have become more the problem than the solution. Daryl, any last thoughts?
Well, our Lord told us, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who are before you. As Mike shared about the prophets of God from the Old Testament, we can also look at in the New Testament, we find really the last Old Testament prophet, John the Baptist. He had his head lopped off because he was calling down the king for his adulterous affair. We see Paul and Silas thrown into stocks. They're in Philippi, and of course the Philippian jailer gets saved, but they were thrown in stocks because the government came in and threw them in because they stood for righteousness. They did the right things. As we stand against abortion, we're doing the right things in our country. We're standing for righteousness. Jesus had a righteous anger when he went into the religious political temple of his day, and he flipped over the tables and he chased out those who were ripping off the people by extorting money from them, heavy taxes, temple taxes, as well as exchanging the offerings that the people would bring in, saying they're not good enough. You see, the battle is raging right now in America. Right now, we're also heading towards the great global reset, of which this is why Donald Trump lost, and the globalists, along with the Democratic Party and the communists, were able to oust him because they had this plan of the great reset in 2021. So keep your eye on that, my friends. It's coming. They want to reduce America's power. They want us to just not be the world leader. They want us to be equal to these other nations, and they want to take away from America. One of their mottos is that you will own nothing and you will be happy. That is communistic to the max. Another one of their mottos is build back better. That's a globalist reset motto, Build Back Better. Who's saying that all the time? Joe Biden. And this is what we see happening today. And this is why he won the election fraudulently today, is because that's what they've done. They wanted him in power, the global elites, for the one world government. This means the Lord is coming back very soon. We need to save souls, family, friends, coworkers, strangers in the streets, people across the world in missions. We need to be soul winners. We need to be salt and light in the world we live in. Yes, we pastors and preachers must preach against the horrors of evilness and immoralities, of abortion and all kinds of sins from the pulpit, whether it be politically or individually. We cover it all. And that's what every pastor must do, because he preaches and teaches the word of God from Genesis to Revelation. And may we never stop fighting the good fight of faith until we go to heaven. Mike, it's back
Amen.
To you.
Being about our daddy's business. Hope that helps. And Carl, yes, I guess it did. So, you know, we're saved. You know, when the Bible Amen. Says occupy till I come, that doesn't mean, oh, God, just give me all the stuff I want. No. We're to be employed in the kingdom of darkness. This fight is on. You say, well, I don't feel any fight. It's because you're not in the battle, buddy. If you're in the battle, you would realize that there are people that want to take away your freedoms to worship God, yes. to share Jesus on the street, to do all the things that you can't do in Saudi Arabia, to do all the things you can't do in Russia or in China. Why?
Send your children to a Christian school, homeschooling. That's going to be next on the
agenda.
They're going to
go after homeschool. They're going to go after homeschool. Bernie Sanders has already said that. So this isn't some new thing. He wants to get rid of all private schools, all charter schools, all church schools. You will be indoctrinated by the government and only by the government. Yep. Typical communism every single time. And again, your freedoms to raise your children the way you want to, gone. The Bill of Rights, gone. Second Amendment, gone. They don't care. They don't care, friends. They got an agenda. And fueled by the American news media and Hollywood, well, unless the Christians stand up, that's the only thing stopping them is you guys. We're all that's left. Everybody else is sold out. Man, except those days were shortened, there'd be no flesh saved. Let's go back to the phones. We have on the line with us Larry, Minnesota. Hi, welcome.
Hi, guys. Thank you guys for all you do there, your wisdom and knowledge over the airwaves. We really appreciate that. You're helping a lot of people.
God is good.
My question, my issue is, I'm an elder at our church, and you would have thought that I would have had a better answer for the question that was posed to me. We have 8 young men who were studying Daniel, and somehow we got on the, of course, how it relates to Revelation, how we got into the tribulation. And one of the fellows asked me if I was a pre-trib or post-trib, and I said pre-trib. I think the Bible is very clear on that. Mm-hmm. And the argument was that, well, the Holy Spirit won't be here, so no one can get saved during that time. And my answer to him was, whose name are you saved in? The name of Jesus or in the name of the Spirit? But I think there could have been a better answer.
Well, of course people are going to be saved during the tribulation period. I strongly suggest he starts reading the Bible. You'll find this in verse 9 of Revelation 6, it says, and when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. This is during the tribulation period. You're already well into the fourth seal. This is the fifth seal. You're way into the tribulation, probably somewhere around the first couple of years of the tribulation. People are found under the altar, those who had been slain for their faith. So the idea that the Holy Spirit packed up and left, I don't find that in the Bible. I certainly realize that God's going to be doing all kinds of things. Otherwise, why would the 144,000 Jews be ministering? Why would the 2 angels going through the midst of heaven warning people not to take the mark of the beast on the earth? Why would they be there? Why would the 2 witnesses be in the street telling the world to repent? if it doesn't make any difference, there's no more Holy Spirit, just flash bang the whole thing, no 7-year tribulation period, it just all gets nuked. No. And so go back, and I would just simply point out to him, well, here's a whole bunch of people that got saved. There were so many, and John didn't even know who they were. John never did not know who the church was. He always knew who the church was. He didn't recognize this group of people. It's because they came up during the tribulation period. Any last thoughts?
Yeah, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 says, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way." When we are raptured out, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are the salt and light of the world. When we are taken up in the rapture, the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way. In other words, the fullness of lawlessness will be unleashed upon planet Earth, following the lawless one, the Antichrist, who's filled with Satan's power. And that's what's going to take place. But people will still get saved in the tribulation period. And that says, Mike just shared, the 144,000 preaching the gospel. There's two angels preaching the gospel. There's tribulation saints and so forth. So it'll still be a time of salvation.
Amen. Mike? Larry, stay in line. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. I think will help you. And hope that answers it for you. We are out of time. Jen, Ed, and Andrew, please call us back. We'll put you on the very first thing tomorrow. You don't have to wait, I promise. And we'll have you there. Thanks, Daryl, for being on. Until then, God bless you. Keep in his love.
Good night. To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.